Hello, and welcome to the Cisco Data Center Architecture Podcast. We're recording today in San Jose. This is our second episode, and our topic today is the centralization of branch servers into the data center. I'm very pleased to have three guests today to help us understand this trend and the solutions that Cisco has been working on in this area. First, to my right, is Baruch Deutsch, Director of Product Management for the Application Delivery Business Unit at Cisco. Hi, Baruch.
Hi, Bobby.
Baruch, please tell us a little bit about the Application Delivery Business Unit within Cisco's development organization.
Sure, Bobby. The Application Delivery Business Unit is a business unit that was formed several months ago, and it really combines Cisco's effort and investment in the area of application delivery and optimization. Our focus as a business unit is to optimize access to applications in the data center, over the wide area network, and into the branch office. And we combine existing Cisco products in that space, such as the Layer 4 7 switches, the content networking solutions, as well as a heavy investment in technology and new products we're going to be shipping in the application delivery solution space.
Great. Thanks, Baruch. Next, to my left, is Adi Degani, Technical Marketing Engineer, also in the same business unit. Hi, Adi. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, everybody.
Adi, you know, many people might think that technical and marketing is an oxymoron, kind of like light beer. Tell us a little bit about what you focus on in the Application Delivery Business Unit.
Well, as part of my job as a TME Technical Marketing Engineer, I spend at least half of my time in the lab working on customer simulated environments and application scenarios where we are inspecting the interaction with our products. As part of the interaction, we're testing different applications specified by customers in their specific environments in order to see the benefits from working with them.
Great. So if you're spending time in a lab, Adi, I think you're definitely more on the technical and less on the marketing. Thanks for being here. Finally, on the phone today, we have Jim French, Distinguished Systems Engineer in Cisco's U.S. Field Engineering Team, focused on application services. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Bobby. How are you?
Good, thanks. Please tell us a little bit about some of the customers that you interface with in your neck of the woods over there.
Well, I cover the northeastern part of the United States, and I've been working with financial, pharmaceutical, retail, and other large companies in that region for almost 9 years at Cisco. And most recently, I've been focused on application technologies, including the performance, delivery, scaling of those applications in order to reduce the customer's capital and lifecycle costs.
Great. Great. That sounds like some really valuable experience for our listeners. I look forward to hearing more a little later on in this podcast. Okay, let's get started. So let me start with Baruch. Baruch, so what types of servers or services have typically been deployed at the branch office for most companies?
Bobby, that's a very interesting question. Before I dive into the specifics, let's look at some of the high-level trends that have been happening in that space. So first and foremost, one thing that organizations are starting to realize is that a significant portion of the end users of applications, of services actually, are not located in a data center. They are located in remote location, close to customers and partners. And in other words, these users out there need access to application services just at the same level as users located in a data center. And one of the challenges that IT organizations have been facing is to how to deliver those services and application access to the users with the minimum possible cost.
Okay, so you know, if we were to look at just the four of us talking right now and Cisco's own data centers, so Cisco has data centers in San Jose and other places around the world. But Jim, as we said before, is based out of the Northeast. We certainly don't have a data center in the Northeast. So Jim would actually be one of the users that you're talking about as being remote and not close to the data center.
Precisely. And this is the dilemma that IT organizations have been facing. You know, how do we deliver the same level of service and access to application and content to people such as Jim as we have here in the headquarters?
Okay. So I'm guessing then that what most IT managers have done is basically to deploy servers and services at remote offices so that these remote users can avail of the same level of application performance or same level of services that are provided by the IT organization that are available at the data center as well, or headquarters, we should say.
Correct. And that indeed has been the common practice until recently, is to deploy those servers and make sure those services are available. However, the cost of maintaining those servers is very prohibitive. If you're talking about hundreds or thousands of small to medium-sized servers deployed throughout the enterprise, this is a very, very costly operations. Not to mention the fact that applying security policies and protecting the data that resides on those servers is a very, very difficult task for IT organization. So what IT managers have been looking for is a way to bring those servers back into the data centers, make sure they can well protect them, administer them, deploy them, reduce the cost for that, all of that while keeping sufficient access performance to the users, such as Jim, who's sitting in a remote location.
I see. Well, you know, Baruch, I'm sure you know this statistic, but maybe some of our listeners don't. More than 50% of the data in most companies is actually not sitting in servers. It's sitting on people's laptops or remote file servers and so on. So I understand what you're saying, that IT managers want to take control of that data and bring that back into the data center.
Absolutely. The data and the servers and application running of them are much better protected sitting in a data center, allowing users to access them remotely over the WAN.
Okay. So then now tell me, what are some of the types of services that have been deployed in the remote office? So I'm guessing the application that everybody sort of uses today, the universal application, is email. Other things I would guess would be phone systems.
Yeah, essentially anything that a knowledge worker would need in their day-to-day operations. You mentioned email, which is an inseparable part of our lives nowadays. Voice services, storage services, place to store that data we just talked about. Any enterprise-based applications such as CRM or ERP, portals, rich media, pretty much everything we need to conduct our daily business at a remote site.
Okay. So let me understand now. So people want to take these servers back into the data center for the reasons that you mentioned, but intuitively, it seems to me that the performance will suffer if IT managers do this, because the whole idea of putting the server in the branch office to begin with was to offer local LAN-like performance with a local resource, a local server. But if you were to take these servers and put them back into the data center, aren't you going to suffer performance issues?
That is exactly the dilemma that IT managers have been facing for years. And this is exactly what Cisco's Application Delivery Business Unit is focusing on, giving IT managers a new way of moving the servers into a data center, at the same time assuring performance across the wider network.
Okay. Let me change gears now and talk to Adi a little bit about some of the technologies here. So Adi, you know, if you talk to most network folks, and I'm a network guy, you know, I grew up in the networking industry. So I'm not really a server guy. I'm not really a app guy. Now, if there's an application performance issue over the wide area network, typically I will think that bandwidth is the problem. So I remember in the olden days when folks had 56K connections out to their branch offices. If only you could increase that to a T1, boy, would you solve a lot of problems. So would you agree, as someone who's looking at a lot of these technologies, that bandwidth is really an issue, and if we could just increase bandwidth, then maybe some of these problems that you might have in terms of moving these servers back to the data center will not really be an issue?
So increasing bandwidth will allow you to reduce the amount of congestion, and will not actually solve the main problem that we have to deal with application performance of the WAN, which is the latency.
I see. Latency. Okay. So latency is something that I think I've heard of, and I think a lot of our listeners have heard of, but I don't think we completely understand latency. I mean, latency from a network point of view is how long does it take from router A to router B. With application latency, help us understand that better, really.
So it starts with the network latency. Network latency is based on the distance between your remote branch and your data center. obviously limited by the physical characteristics of speed of light. Now, once you have your latency established between a certain set of sites, you can't do much about it. Now, couple that with the application, the way application works with the servers at the data centers, where the application goes back and forth to request information and to perform different operations. Going back and forth over the WAN, over these multiples of latency round trips, in order to complete a transaction, leads to a severe degradation of response time from a user's perspective.
I see. Okay. So I think I understand what latency is. Let me try to summarize that. So I would take the network latency, which is how long it takes to go from point A to point B. So let's say from the west coast of the United States to the east coast, 100 milliseconds, 120 milliseconds. Is that a reasonable number?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So then I would multiply that by the number of times that the application has to go back and forth between the client and the server.
Yes, and you can see that many applications don't go once or twice. They actually go hundreds and sometimes thousands of times just to complete
that
transaction.
Thousands of times.
Yeah.
Wow.
You'll be surprised.
Wow. Thousands of times. That would really take a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I understand latency now. Now, give me some examples. So give me some examples of applications. Let's talk about, file services, for example. So, you know, I'm opening up a file off of a file server that is in a remote data center. Tell me about latency there and, you know, how does that work and what do I have to look at?
Well, every operation you do over a file does not consist of one operation that goes over the network. What you'll see is that essentially each operation that you do over a file translates to tens, sometimes hundreds of operations. It starts with initiating a session with the server, then authenticating you, then starting to request a file open and request file logs, and then read some parts of the file, and then write some parts of the file, and then do it again, open and close the file. Different applications behave differently when working on certain file types. But essentially, they all go through an abstraction layer in the operating system, which does not allow to over-optimize the network interaction.
I see. So this would really be at the mercy of the developer that wrote that application protocol. That's really the design that you're talking about.
Correct.
I see. Can you give me another example? Perhaps maybe, I don't know, streaming media, perhaps?
Well, in streaming media, the issue is less evident. The issue in streaming media is more of a congestion avoidance and how you do you handle jitter in the network. Another good example is HTTP-based application, web applications, where you are simply filling up a form on a website and you're submitting it or you're issuing a query in order to get a customer or a person records or something like that. In this case, you get a web page. For you, it's a single building block. But from an application perspective, it's a set of tens and hundreds of objects that needs to be retrieved over the network, in which case latency becomes a major issue where each one of these objects needs to be compared to a previous instance of it or being generated again at the application server.
I see. So HTTP applications and file applications really require many, many times to go back and forth. And I would multiply that by the latency to really figure out how long that transaction would take.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Okay. So, Baruch, I think I understand the problem that IT managers are trying to solve in when they take their branch servers and centralize them into the data center. Tell us briefly, what are some of the solutions that Cisco's working on, have been working on, will be working on, and what's the general development approach that you all are taking?
Well, so as I mentioned, our business unit, specifically the application delivery business unit, have been looking at that area for several years now. And it's kind of interesting because if you talk to a lot of organizations and when they're running into application performance issues or challenges across the wide area network, they point their fingers and think the network is the problem. We don't think the network is the problem. We think the network is the opportunity. And as a network company, we understand very well what will it take to run some of the higher order application protocol across the wide area network. So what we're offering in that space is a variety of products, but specifically for this discussion, let me focus on one set of solutions that enabled remote access over the wide area network, over limited bandwidth and high latency links to centralized application servers, file services, and enrich media content. The product line that specifically I'm referring to is called the Wide Area Application Engine, or as we like in this industry, everything has an acronym, so this one too is referred to as WAE, for Wide Area Application Engine.
Wow, a new acronym, Baruch. That's novel.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that we were missing a few. Anyway, the Wide Area Application Engine as a solution comes in the form factor of either a standalone appliance, and there's a variety of appliance form factor you can deploy in a branch office, as well as you can deploy it as a blade into the Cisco Integrated Services Router, what we refer to as a network module. So the WAE, as soon as you deploy it at the branch office, is capable of recognizing the application traffic and actually optimizing and accelerating it. And really, to solve the problem, we look at three different components for this technology. The first one is dealing with latency. And as Adi explained, latency is the round trips of going back and forth between the client and the application server. So the WAE features a host of application adapters that are capable of looking at the application protocol traffic and really saving the user a significant amount of their round trips, in many cases, over 90% of them. So that's one component of our technology.
So let me just pause you for a second. So 90% of the round trips, so Adi mentioned 1,000 round trips sometimes for applications. I can't even fathom that. That seems like such an incredible number. But 90% of 1,000, and Baruch, help me with my math here, mm-hmm. I think that's 100.
Yep.
So you're telling me that I can have that dramatic of a reduction? That's fascinating.
Absolutely. And that's where our engineers have been investing numerous hours, days, and months in terms of understanding how protocols work across the network, across the IP network, and being able to optimize that traffic in such a way you do get the 90% plus reduction of traffic. The second item, the solution, is once you do have to go across, you want to do it in the most optimal way. So our focus is on improving the data throughput through the network. And we use a variety of technologies such as caching, compression, flow optimization to make sure that when data does have to go across, it's done in the most efficient way. And last but not least, all of that technology is well integrated into the Cisco IP network. So any of the services, utilities, and optimization that exists today in your Cisco router-based technology essentially is accessible in the presence of those application optimization solutions or the wide area application engine.
Great, great. That's a great summary there, Baruch. I appreciate that. You know, Adi, I know that some of those numbers that Baruch is quoting is directly a result of the work that you've done in the lab. So let me just turn to you and ask you, what are some of the results, and can you expand on some of the results that you've seen? And in, you know, how do you do your testing? You know, how do you get these numbers? How do you really analyze this data?
Well, first of all, you really need to look at applications as categories of or types of applications. What you'll see is that you can split the realm of applications into several categories, like transactional web applications, like portal collaboration, document management systems, and like content management and software distribution or distribution applications, as well as rich media and bulk transfer. Each one of these application categories require a different set of optimizations, whether it's optimizations on latency, whether it's optimizations on bandwidth, and whether it's optimizations on the way the network is being utilized. As part of the testing, what we do is we work with these different sets of applications, and we see what benefits we can get from applying different features of the wide area application engines to different applications. And the way we do it is by using a set of application policies that come with the appliance to identify the traffic and decide on the correct assignment of optimizations. So you can see anywhere between 2x optimizations to 100x optimizations, depending on which applications you work with. For instance, you can see that for transactional web applications, you can get up to 90-95% reduction in the transaction time, in response time of that application. And for bulk data transfers, you can get up to 80-90% reduction in actual data being transferred over the network. And depending on the mix of data transfer and a mix of response time that application will use, you get a combined benefit of up to 100 times faster than it would have been without the WAE.
That sounds like, Adi, sounds like we're going to put a bunch of these clerks that put information into Oracle 11i applications out of their overtime, huh? I mean, really, we're really reducing the amount of time it takes to even do a specific day's amount of work for a lot of people who are just transaction-based and go into work every day and just put in a bunch of transactions and then leave at the end of the day, and maybe all the transactions aren't done. And I think some of the things you're talking about could really impact that. So great. Thanks, Adi. Why don't we turn to Jim now? Jim, I know that you've been working with some of the biggest companies in the world where large IT departments are managing 100, sometimes thousands of branch offices. Can you give us a couple of examples of some of the customers that you've worked with and their experiences in centralizing servers into their data centers?
Sure can, Bobby. Thanks. So I have a lot of enterprise customers that have been going through the same pain and therefore have been trying to go through the same changes in their infrastructure. And those changes include consolidating the branch infrastructures and data centers to a smaller number to reduce costs, protect data, and enable new services. So I had a lot of customers to choose from in financial, pharmaceutical, retail, auto, and others in the Northeast, because that's it's a large hub for those types of companies. But there's really a couple of real key stories. One of them sort of a Cinderella story for these technologies, and it's a pharmaceutical company which has well over 200 locations worldwide, covering all the different theaters, Asia Pac, EMEA, United States, South America. And among those, there's a lot of low bandwidth sites, and as a result, they had to deploy a lot of infrastructure to deliver applications out to those locations. So initially, they came to us for a solution around streaming media, and they had 75 Windows Media servers deployed that were disparately managed. Then later, they started looking at wide area file services because they had about 120 file and print servers deployed. Now understanding that Cisco can deliver a combination of those and other applications, they've rolled out a bunch of the wide area file services, wide area application engines to support the 120 file and print servers, and also address their software distribution requirements using Microsoft SMS, where they had about 150 of those servers. So you could see within their IT organization, which is a pretty common standard, each one of the groups within IT deploys a server to solve its unique siloed problems. So the desktop group had deployed the software distribution servers. The file server group had deployed all the file servers. The video group had deployed all the Windows Media servers. And they also had a smattering of Exchange servers deployed, and that came out of the email group. Now, if all these groups operate separately, what happens is this particular customer ended up with 1,000 servers deployed in their 200 branch locations.
Wow.
And when they did a survey of those servers, they found that none of them were operating at over 5% CPU.
So that means that you've got, so I'm just trying to do the math here quickly. So you've got about 5 servers per branch location on average sitting at extremely low utilization and being managed by different folks within the IT organization. So obviously the CIO is very happy with this situation.
Correct. And there's all the security patches and issues surrounding managing many distributed servers. The way I looked at it was they had a mini data center deployed in every branch.
That's a good way of putting it, Jim.
So their challenges, obviously, were high capital costs because they're buying lots and lots of servers and lots of storage. It's all direct attached storage, so they're wasting a lot of storage on each box. There's high operational costs to managing all those servers, and they were all very underutilized. There's also a high security risk, as I mentioned. And then they're also going through, under the compliance of HIPAA, data protection requirements to force them to have a single copy of all their data in the data center. So what they have deployed for video is a CDN infrastructure, which does unicast stream splitting because they did not have a multicast infrastructure deployed.
Just let me pause you for a second, Jim.
Sure.
So CDN is Content Delivery Network.
Correct.
For our listeners that aren't familiar with the acronym.
Thank you. So they've deployed that content delivery network for Windows Media Streaming, and they're now pulling back, and they've gone through a lot of pulling back of the file and print services, which the WAE can also provide. They have consolidated the data, so they have a single copy of the data now in a large storage area network, also provided by Cisco's MDS SAN switches. And the system is able to be managed and continue to allow the customer to maintain the silos within their IT organizations in the sense that we can manage the file services as if this box is only doing file services and the video services as if it's only doing video. So each one of the IT organizations can see the box only for the use that they have for it when they're administering it and reporting on it.
Which is
very powerful.
That is very interesting. So the internal IT organizational process wasn't necessarily mandated to have changed just because the technology that was being utilized to serve those users had changed.
Right. In our central manager, we can provide views into each of the applications that we're delivering so that each organization only sees what they need to see.
Great. Great. So this was a large pharmaceutical customer that you're talking about, right?
Correct.
Any other examples that you have?
Yeah, just to pick one in another vertical. I work with a lot of financials out of New York City, and usually they'll have some large, and this one in particular, at about 1,000 bank branches, so sort of a retail arm, and they also had large corporate offices. And two separate deployments for the content delivery networking again, in order to do corporate communications internally to corporate personnel, but then also to do e-learning out to the branches. And the driver and challenge to the branches is obviously 1,000 to 2,000 branches, low bandwidth out to the branches. Generally speaking, they have pretty high employee turnover in those branches. They'd have to keep shipping videotapes out there and trying to keep the employees trained as they go through their turnover. They didn't have any multicast deployed either.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jim, sorry to interrupt you, but you mean that my teller at my bank branch is not the same person I saw last week?
Not in all bank branches. Hopefully yours is.
I'm sorry. Go on, please.
So with that, their challenge is really and they also roll out new services. So it's not just that the tellers are turning over that quickly because sometimes you get tellers that have been there for a long time, but they also have new programs, new services that they want to deliver, and they have to educate the existing employees in those branches on those new services and do it as quickly as possible. So with the WAE, again, because of the video services that are deployed, part of the content delivery networking, they were able to deploy hundreds of boxes out in those branches to deliver e-learning for those tellers in those branches. And then also on the corporate side, they have to manage the corporate vision amongst all the other business groups, and they did that in a similar fashion, deploying unicast stream splitting with Windows Media.
I see. Okay, great. Okay, so I think that brings us to a close here. So let me just wrap up what I think I learned today from the three of you, and please feel free to add anything that I may have missed. So folks are looking at taking a lot of the servers that they've deployed in remote offices and bring them back into the data center. for reasons of compliance, for security, but mostly because it just costs a hell heck of a lot of money to manage these things. Now, the reason that they did that to begin with was to offer those remote users a level of performance that the folks in headquarters were getting. Now, it's very alluring to bring these servers back. And not only that, maybe it's compulsory to do that. But when you do that, you have to look at application performance, which seems to be impacted by bandwidth and latency. Latency, I won't go into a detailed discussion. I'll let everybody who's listening to talk to Adi directly, because Adi's the technical person. However, dealing with the latency is really what our application delivery business unit is focused on. And there's a number of products that are being developed by Baruch and your team, which allow these folks, these IT managers, to take these services, bring them back to the data center, yet be able to offer a comparable performance that they can get from what they had prior to moving the servers back. And as we heard from Jim, there's quite a few very large companies here in the United States who are seeing successful results out of using this approach to their application delivery over the wide area network. Great. So thanks again. I appreciate all of you coming and talking to our listeners here on application delivery. I do want to indicate that there's a lot of information out there on Cisco.com. The specific URL for this subject is www.cisco.com/go/WAE. So that stands for Wide Area Engine, right? Or Wide Area Application Engine.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Correct. Thanks, and thank you for listening, and we will be speaking with you on our next podcast.